Section 5, William Tryon and the Regulation. As you read, look for Governor William Tryon's reforms, reasons for the regulator movement, the Battle of Alamance and its aftermath, and the following terms: appropriate, regulator, extortion, militia. When Arthur Dobbs died in 1765, his assistant William Tryon was appointed the new royal governor. Tryon and his wife, the former Margaret Wake, for whom Wake County was named, were already influential residents of the Cape Fear. Tryon, who came from a military background, combined his organizational skills with his professional ambitions to bring change to North Carolina. In fact, Tryon did more in a decade to alter life in the colony than anyone else had done in the previous century. Tryon wanted North Carolina to be better organized to take advantage of its economic resources. He also wanted the colonists to be more respectful of authority, particularly toward the government officials in charge of the colony. Tryon wanted to please the king by making North Carolina finally pay its own way. Tryon's reforms. Tryon quickly moved the colony toward his goals. First, he convinced the General Assembly to have a permanent seat of government, which they established at New Bern. It appropriated, set aside, a large sum of money for a building that would house both the royal government and its governor. The Capitol building, later in North Carolina history called Tryon Palace, was completed in 1770. Its wide halls and impressive meeting rooms made it the finest structure ever seen in the colony, one that rivaled the public buildings in New York, Charlestown, or Williamsburg. Second, Tryon got the General Assembly to reorganize the Church of England in North Carolina. He tried to make residents accept it as the colony's established religion. At the time, only port towns like Edenton, New Bern, Bath, and Wilmington had strong churches, and even they had a problem keeping pastors. By 1769, Tryon had repaired old churches and built 6 new ones, including small chapels for worship out in the farming areas. Third, Tryon was able to stimulate growth in the economy. He increased customs collections in the colony's ports, despite the onset of protests about British taxation that would lead to the American Revolution. He helped merchants set up stores and encouraged the expansion of the wharves on Portsmouth Island to ease shipping through the Outer Banks. Fourth, Tryon gained more control over the colony by having his allies appointed to local offices in the backcountry. He helped well-educated Englishmen get these positions, the most important of whom were Edmund Fanning in Hillsborough and John Frohawk in Salisbury. The Regulator Movement. All of Tryon's measures improved the organization of North Carolina, but each came with a cost to the average taxpayer. Residents near the coast could see a return for their higher taxes because life in the port towns improved. But the newcomers to the backcountry were not so sure. They claimed, rightly, that a palace in New Bern was so far away that few of them would ever see it. They would rather see the money used to improve the roads from the backcountry to the coast. Few of the backcountry residents were Anglican, and they had little desire to support that church with their taxes. Most of all, the backcountry settlers were angry that Tryon had done little to stop bad government. It was commonly believed that backcountry officials were just as corrupt as in the proprietary period. The problem had grown worse since 1763. When Lord Granville died, thousands of his land grants were involved in the settlement of his estate. People were not even sure that they owned their property. Moreover, many newcomers to the Granville district who had surveyed their land claimed that courthouse officials like Edmund Fanning of Orange County would only register the title if they were paid a bribe. The backcountry residents began to protest the same year Tryon became governor. In the summer of 1766, Uwari residents gathered at Quaker meeting houses to talk about their grievances. Hundreds signed petitions calling for honester regulation. The petitioners soon took the name Regulators, and their principal spokesman was Herman Husband. Despite the promise by Governor Tryon to deal with the injustices, the Regulators got little relief. For example, the sheriff of Orange County no longer went house to house to collect taxes, as was the custom. Instead, people had to pay their taxes at selected places that were often far from home. If they failed to come on time, the sheriff increased their tax bill. Tensions mount. Matters worsened in 1768 when one of the regulators' mayor was seized to pay off a debt. Citizens marched on Hillsborough to get it back. While there, some of them fired shots into Edmund Fanning's house. Other regulators threw John Frohawk out of the courtroom in Salisbury. Fanning had husband put in jail, accusing him of being behind all the disorder. Hundreds of people marched on Hillsborough to get him released. Fanning was forced to let husband go and promised to have Governor Tryon deal with the problem. Even though two regulators, schoolteacher Redknapp Belk and farmer James Hunter, walked all the way to New Bern with evidence of corruption, Tryon did little. Instead, he held military parades in Hillsborough, Salisbury, and Charlotte to show off his power. Fanning was tried for extortion, charging illegal fees, and found guilty. But he was fined only a penny and was allowed to keep his position. Husband tried for inciting a riot, was found not guilty. Frustrated, backcountry settlers saw little being done about their grievances in 1769 and 1770. In September 1770, regulators again marched on Hillsborough, some waving cowwhips and pitchforks. They took over the courtroom and attacked a number of public officials. The next day, they learned that Judge Richard Henderson had fled town. Furious and frustrated, the regulators dragged Fanning out of his house and tore it down. Later, someone burned down Judge Henderson's farm in nearby Granville County. The mayhem in Hillsborough prompted Governor Tryon to take strong measures. He got the assembly to pass the Johnston Riot Act, named for Samuel Johnston, a nephew of former Governor Gabriel Johnston. The new law called for strict punishment for all public acts of disorder. Tryon then used the Riot Act to arrest Herman Husband, a Quaker, and he called out the militia, citizen soldiers, to prevent the regulators from rescuing him. Fearful that they too might be assaulted by angry backcountry residents, the assembly passed several laws better regulating the collection of public fees. Later, a New Bern grand jury refused to indict Husband under the Riot Act, and he was allowed to return home. The Battle of Alamance. Governor Tryon, assuming that the regulators would rise again, gathered militia from across the coastal plain and marched on Hillsborough. Fanning joined him with a few Orange County soldiers. Hugh Waddell, who had been in command at Fort Dobbs, tried to march from Charlotte with others to surround the regulators. Thousands of shouting regulators kept Waddell from crossing the Yadkin River. Tryon continued marching west from Hillsborough. The regulators gathered at Alamance Creek, about 15 miles southwest of Hillsborough. On May 16, 1771, Tryon ordered them to disperse. When they did not, he ordered the militia to fire upon them. The Battle of Alamance lasted a couple of hours. The regulators, who had no commander and no organization, ran out of ammunition and fled through the woods. At least 20 were killed and another 150 wounded. Husband, at the first shot, fled all the way to Pennsylvania. Tryon made sure that every backcountry resident knew never to challenge the authority of the king. He executed one regulator even before the battle, ordering him shot in front of the other protesters. The day after the battle, he hanged another without trial. Tryon then marched his small force toward Salisbury, demanding loyalty oaths from everyone along the way. Tryon's troops dismantled Herman Husband's farm down to the lowest fence railing. Eventually, more than 6,000 backcountry men came into Salisbury and Bethabara to gain a pardon. After returning to Hillsborough, 12 more regulators were tried and condemned. Tryon pardoned 6 of them and hanged the rest. The end to the regulation did not solve any of the problems North Carolina faced in the 1770s. The king promoted Tryon to governor of New York. Fanning went along as Tryon's secretary. He eventually became a general in the British Army. Herman Husband never returned to North Carolina. As an old man, he was jailed for helping lead the Whiskey Rebellion of 1792, a fight against unfair taxes in Pennsylvania. Many other regulators fled the colony. Some went to westernmost South Carolina, others over the Blue Ridge to the upper tributaries of the Tennessee River. Those who stayed often faced poverty. Josiah Martin, who became royal governor after Tryon, was surprised at Tryon's reaction to the regulation. Although he tried hard to make amends and once again get North Carolina on the path to government and commerce, he could do little. The sheriffs of the various counties still owed the colony more than £66,000, equal to millions of dollars today. To make matters worse, within 2 years of Martin's arrival, the American Revolution broke out.